This is a special edition of the RTI Press Pass, powered by Rocky Top Insider. Here are your hosts, Rick Butler and Ryan Shumpert.
Exactly 140 days after Tennessee was picked by the media to win the SEC, Tennessee does exactly that. The Tennessee Volunteers are now your outright SEC regular season champions for the 2023-2024 season after a 66-59 victory over number 17 South Carolina right here in Columbia. My name is Rick Butler. This is Ryan Shumpert. Welcome into the Rocky Top Insider Press Pass Instant Reaction Show. As we're up here in the arena, man, we're talking a little Tennessee basketball. How are you doing? It's been a long day for us.
I'm doing well. Heck of a lead into the podcast, though. When you said 140 days, was it 141 or 140?
140.
140. I didn't know where you were going with it. So, good lead in. The media got this one right.
Media got it right.
Probably a lot of misses in there. I'm sure Arkansas and I think A&M was two.
A&M was high, but do you also know who was picked for the player of the year?
Wade Taylor.
Yeah, that's correct.
He was a no doubt player of the year, and obviously no one is picking Dalton Knecht. And I don't mean to pat myself on the back.
Oh,
well, not that good. Obviously, I didn't pick Dalton. Well, I didn't have him.
Are you asking me to pat you on the back?
No, but okay. Ben McKee and I were sitting watching Tennessee baseball scrimmage sometime in the fall, and he had to submit for 247. They were doing their own, and I said, I think Mark Sears might be my preseason pick for SEC Player of the Year. No one was talking about him. And I say all this, he's not even going to win SEC Player of the Year. But he is going to finish second.
Hey, well done. Well,
beside the point. But
We know that Dalton Knecht is at least going to get one vote from one Bruce Pearl.
Yep.
As the Tennessee basketball Twitter account kept the social media receipts for. But let's kind of get into the thick of things. Obviously, again, Tennessee defeats South Carolina 66-59 right here in Columbia. What do you want to lead with? Do you kind of want to talk about the game? Do you kind of want to talk about just what this means? What are you thinking right here as we sit here at about 11:40 p.m. on Wednesday evening?
Let's lead with the game.
Okay. Well, there are a couple different directions we could go. We could talk about the guy that we were just talking about who puts up 26 points, who leads all scorers in the game. That's Dalton Knecht. But I kind of want to start with Tennessee's defense. Tennessee holds South Carolina to 59 points overall in front of a roaring arena, I might add. And this also comes after South Carolina was the first and only team so far, still one game left in the schedule, but to beat Tennessee at home. So not only was it an important game just from the SEC perspective, but I also think that this was a personal game for Tennessee. I think that they knew what happened back in Knoxville during that fateful night. They wanted a little bit of revenge. And maybe it wasn't even revenge, but they wanted this win. They wanted to prove that they are the best team in the SEC. And certainly in the last 8 days, beating Auburn, beating Alabama, I know I'm going off track now, but beating Auburn,
right,
beating Alabama, and then finishing this off with South Carolina, man, that's one heck of a stretch right there. And you could just see a lot of resiliency that Tennessee put into this game.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where obviously it wasn't a good thing that they lost the first game, but when you're coming off an emotional week like that and such an emotional win in Alabama, it was probably good that Tennessee had, when they were coming into this game, that they'd lost to South Carolina, because there was,
yeah,
you know, it was going to be them wanting revenge. They're going to certainly remember how the first game went. It's going to be personal. So, yeah, that was big for Tennessee to get revenge, a game that they never trailed in. And you're right, the defense was really good. I felt like the second straight game, obviously South Carolina is not nearly as dominant as offensively as Alabama is, and the two teams play much different styles. But Tennessee, you know, they shut down South Carolina, 38% shooting from the field, 27% from the three-point line. I think it was not 0.986 points per possession. So there was just so much to like about what Tennessee did defensively tonight.
Yeah, you know, pulling back the curtain a little bit, actually I'll start with this. If you look in some of the videos that Tennessee posted after the game from the locker room, there's one specific video of Rick Barnes addressing the team, and he congratulates them. He kind of gives them their flowers for the game and for the season, but he also makes an emphatic point to say, hey, our defense won us this game.
Yep.
Just like they've been winning Tennessee games for years now, but this season as well, you know, pulling back the curtain a little bit, we get to see practice. We get to know what's going on. We hear what's happening at practice, and there's a lot of attention to the details. And I think that that is one of the standout things. And I know I'm not necessarily breaking news here, but it just is really remarkable to see those details translate into such an important game like this. I think you can look back at those last 10 minutes of the game, and there are more examples besides this, but Rick Barnes talked about it, leaning on the veterans for that 10-minute stretch because Tennessee knew that their defense was going to close out that game for them. They obviously needed to continue to score points, but this is also when South Carolina was stepping up. The crowd was really ramping up. Tennessee's defense needed to lock down, and again, we can talk about the game as a whole, but especially those last 10 minutes, I felt like Tennessee was really just able to lock down and make their mark and do what they needed to do.
Yeah, no, I mean, I would almost say I felt like for 30 minutes, maybe 30 minutes and change, Tennessee rebounded the ball really, really well. First 5 minutes of the game, the last 5 minutes of the game, they didn't rebound the ball well, and I feel like South Carolina capitalized on that a lot. Yeah, 15 second chance points for South Carolina. So you talk about a game where South Carolina scored 59 points, 45 of or you know 45 was on their first shot of a possession. So Tennessee made it really difficult for South Carolina to get good looks. I thought they did a great job of taking them out of what they wanted to do in the interior. Their post defense, and Rick Barnes talked about this too post game, their post defense was a lot better than the first meeting. And then just on a night where it was a real physical game, Tennessee's guards are almost always going to thrive on the defensive end if they're allowed to kind of hand check, which was kind of how the game was called throughout the night.
Yeah, it was a physical game, and I thought the referees let things go and let the teams play physical, and certainly they did. We were talking about it in the first half. Is this going to carry over to the second half? Are things going to switch up with just the way that it was being called? And for the most part, no, it was a physical game the whole time. But I think you're right. I like Tennessee's chances on the defensive end, especially from the guard perspective, when they can muck it up a little bit, right? When they can when they can get a little gritty down there, and that's what they were able to do and make people uncomfortable.
Certainly, and one last thing on the kind of the defensive note. Before we move on to Dalton Connect, really, I think would be the main thing we talk about for this game itself, but you felt like Tennessee could win games with their defense this year, and they've played really good defensively in games, and maybe the defense has been the most impressive part of the game. I think it was against Alabama. But Tennessee really hadn't won a real low-scoring game where its offense struggled all season. And, you know, again, it felt like Tennessee could win in just about any way. It felt like they could – I wrote about it a lot after Alabama – play different lineups and play different paces of games and stuff like that. But they'd kind of struggled against his slow-paced, defensive-minded teams. And obviously they hadn't seen a ton of them. This was the full encapsulation. They can go on the road and beat a top 20 team in South Carolina, scored 66 points, giving up 59 points. They can go on the road and beat a top 25 team in, like Kentucky, scoring 103 points and giving up 92 points or whatever it was. And Tennessee might have scored less than 103. But you get my point.
Yeah.
This was kind of the complete meshing of all that together to me, to kind of the final step of Tennessee kind of showing they can win any type of game.
It's a great point. All right, we're about 7 minutes in. Let's talk about who the people want to hear about. And that's Dalton Connect. 26 points on the night, leads all scorers. Goes 9 of 23 from the floor, 5 of 11 from three-point range. Dalton Connect had 14 points in the first half, but it was primarily built from the three-point line. 4 of his 5 first-half shots are from the perimeter. Then he puts up 12 points in the second half, but only has one shot from three-point range. I believe that was the so-called Connect 4 play that came in the second half, right? So Dalton Connect, different ways scoring tonight, obviously in the first half behind the three-point line, in the second half in front of the three-point line, certainly added in 3 for 3 free throws as well, adds in a handful of rebounds. What part of his game was most impressive to you tonight?
Well, I think it's just the fact he didn't really score the basket much. I mean, he scored the alley-oop off the inbounds play that Tennessee's run for a basket a ton this season.
Yeah, but clockwork.
Yeah, and he just does. You know, he's been such a good scorer at the basket, and South Carolina did a good job of taking that away from him, really, and for Tennessee's guards as a whole. So he did it on jump shots. He did it on a number of three-pointers, 5 of them. He did it getting into the mid-range and having success there, including a big bucket there in the last maybe 2 minutes or so. So it was what he did with his jump shots, what he did knocking down shots, and I think maybe a note I would say about him is on a night where he scores 26 points. We've seen him score in the 30s this year. We've seen him score 39 multiple times, over 35 4 times. You know, you think 26, that might not be just incredibly impressive.
Sure.
Well, in a game where Tennessee scores 66 points, the 26 points feels a lot bigger when you only score 66 points, as opposed to not to say that it was a better performance than his Auburn game, but as opposed to a game where you score 36 points and Tennessee scores 90, it felt maybe not as maybe not as impressive as those games, but it felt just as important as those games, as Kinect came through for Tennessee on the offense.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. I think that, you know, not that you need, especially the people who are listening to this right now who have seen a lot of Tennessee basketball this year, it's not that you need any more evidence that he can play at that level, that he can score in different ways, that he can adjust to what the game is doing, which I think is really one of the more impressive aspects of his game. But again, it's just sort of the timing of it all now leading into postseason play when you do have all of this ability that we have seen and that people have seen from Don Kinect in different ways. I think you hit the nail on the head how there's games where he attacks the basket and he gets there, and that's how he scores a lot of his points. He gets to the foul line as well. There's some games where that's taken away, and so he's got to step back, find his jump shot. His last basket of the game came at the 2 minute 7 second mark in the second half, and sure enough, it was a jump shot. So I think that really just sort of encapsulates, you know, what we're talking about the season as a whole right now. I think that just sort of encapsulates the ability that he has shown throughout the season.
Yeah, the shot making and how important that's been for Tennessee to be so much better offensively. And again, like, I mean, you probably got, I don't know, two or three real open looks tonight. Really, one of his most open looks was a layup that was basically wide open that he missed. Very uncharacteristic for him. It's just, he makes really difficult shots. He makes the Kinect four in the corner, and it's funny, pull back the curtain a little bit, and you talked about earlier about us watching practice. Rick Barnes probably spent, after his formal press conference, he was talking to us off the side
yesterday about
a conversation he had with, I think it's Matt Eads, something Eads, he's the head of officiating for the SEC, and he's talking about on getting your hand hit on three-point shots, and when it is and isn't a three-point, or when it is and isn't a foul. He said if you're shooting it and someone's closing out forward and you're able to follow through and they hit your hand, it's not going to be called a foul. If they come and hit you from the side, it's going to be called a foul. And then we watch practice, and in the Tennessee's practice, they were working on, you know, in the game situations and needing threes, and he stopped and explained that whole thing to the team. And then right there on that, again, the other inbounds play, Tennessee's run and gotten Dalton Kinect a lot of open threes this year. He catches it, guys chasing him from the side, hits the hand, and Rick Barnes gets the call.
Hey, and maybe I spaced out for 1 second while you were saying that, but where was Rick Barnes showing that on the court during practice?
Yeah, right there in the corner. It wasn't, they were practicing side out of bounds plays, but kind of a similar situation with the footwork and how you're running to the corner.
Right, yeah, and so to see it happen in the corner again in this game is it's just fascinating how it kind of all comes together and the picture is painted. So certainly, and again, that just kind of goes back to what we talked about at the beginning. Those details are carrying over. And I think that's where you see such a veteran-led team, an experienced team, a team who understands that those specific details are going to be difference makers in games like this. Games where it's less than 70 points on both sides. Games where it's less than 60 points on one side. Games where maybe shots are a little bit tougher to fall. Every detail matters. And Tennessee's got an incredibly experienced veteran-led team. And I think that's where you see some of that magic come from.
Certainly. And, you know, kind of putting a Kinect was the main guy offensively. Jonas Adu, I thought, did some good things in the first half, scores 14 points, and certainly was good on the boards.
He was a mid-range magician for the start of the game, especially helped Tennessee get out to a good lead.
Yeah, he had, I think, three mid-range jumpers in the first 8 minutes or so. He did have one big bucket late, good pass by Dalton Kinect to find him at the 1 point, really in the whole second half, South Carolina got it to a one-possession game. Kinect found him. Found a dude deep, and he, you know, turned right shoulder, finished it on the little left hand, the baby hook. So that was a big moment. He wasn't as good as the second half. Kai Ziegler, not his most efficient shooting night. 3 of 8 from the field, 1 of 5 from 3-point line, 6 of 6 at the foul line. The one 3-pointer he hit was big, and I thought just another good game for him. He has 13 points, 7 assists, 5 rebounds. Turns it over just one time. It wasn't his best night from a shooting standpoint. But besides that, again, he was really, really good.
Yeah, and again, just kind of reiterating off of that and going off of the details point one more time, Tennessee goes 86.4% from the free throw line. South Carolina goes 50%. And there was a bit of a discrepancy in the amount of free throws taken. But, hey, you gotta make them when you've got that opportunity. Tennessee was solid at the line on Wednesday night, 19 out of 22. It's not a bad way to find points.
No, it's not, and especially on a night when everything offensively was pretty hard to come by, and I felt like a lot of those free throw points came in the second half. And kind of speaking of that, Santiago Vescovi and Josiah Jordan-James They don't make a single field goal tonight. Granted, they took all five combined. They were a combined perfect 8 of 8 at the line, Josiah hitting 6 of them, and those were the two guys when Tennessee was icing the game. Final two trips to the foul line, Santiago Vescovi 2 for 2, Josiah Jordan James 2 for 2. I thought that was pretty cool for the two, you know, Tennessee veterans who have been here for 5 years to hit the free throws that iced their first SEC regular season championship.
Yeah, just kind of looking at the stat sheet right here, Jonas Adu comes one rebound shy of a double-double, but going off of what you said, the 6 rebounds that James brought down, the 5 rebounds, 2 assists that Santiago Vescovi added in, it's all important, and it all kind of builds to Tennessee's win against South Carolina on Wednesday night, and it all sort of builds to Tennessee's SEC regular season championship, the first since 2008. Obviously, that means this is the first under the Rick Barnes era, but I think there is, you know, what I wrote about today was, don't get me wrong, there's obviously an expectation for Tennessee that there are more goals left ahead of them from a program perspective, but as they were coming off the court, we have a great video of it over on RockyTopInsider.com and the RockyTop Insider socials, watching them head off the court and an exhale of joy. You know, yeah. I felt like that was sort of what I saw with them coming off the court. And especially you talk about those veterans, you talk about those leaders and everything they had been through. It's a big moment for them and certainly deserving so, even though this is a season that hasn't necessarily looked a lot like other seasons. This is a season that Tennessee has had a prolific bona fide score. This is a season where some of those other guys like a Santiago Vescovi and like a James are able to – you wrote an incredible article about this. I highly recommend going over to Rocket Up Insider and finding it. But it gives guys like Josiah Jordan James the opportunity to do more of what they do best as opposed to being forced into positions or roles that maybe they aren't best at. So I think that, again, you just look at all the way that this has come together and – it's not surprising that Tennessee was able to capitalize it and route to an SEC championship.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt about that. And, you know, I think you saw that especially in these last two games when – or three games, really, where it's the final stretch of the season. You're playing top 25 competition, and Tennessee found themselves down by, you know, 8 in the second half against Auburn, 7 in the second half on the road at Alabama. And obviously they led the whole time tonight, but – anytime South Carolina made a run, it felt like they had an answer. Just a veteran group, a group that's been there, and a group that they were ready for in the moment. So you're right, Tennessee's won a ton of shares, or not a ton, but you know, their handful of shares of conference titles, 72, 77, 82, 2000, which is one of my favorites because four teams split the regular season title. And then a team who didn't split it won the SEC tournament. So 5 teams can claim SEC championships from that year. And then obviously 2008 when they won outright. And then again 2018, back Rick Barnes' third year in Knoxville. So big to get one outright. And I think, again, just how it really flipped on a long, you know, in the long term of looking at it. Tennessee lost a game to South Carolina, its final game in January. They were 5-2 in SEC play. And they had a game coming up at Kentucky. They were in very real possibility, a very real chance of falling to 5-3 in SEC play. And it felt like they were fighting a real uphill battle going into that game. Since then, they're 9-1 in SEC play. They obviously lost at A&M. In one game, they kind of laid an egg in. They have 3 ranked wins on the road at Kentucky, at Alabama tonight, at South Carolina. And they've done it the hard way. They've won some really tough games. They've just continued to get better and better. And I would even just say the way it's flipped over the last 2 weeks, it felt like Tennessee was in it. But it felt like Tennessee was probably going to need – it was probably going to be a split if Tennessee got it. And then Alabama loses at Kentucky. Tennessee beats them a week later. Alabama loses again at Florida. Tennessee takes care of Auburn. It just felt like it flipped in a hurry from Tennessee's got a real chance to getting a share. It's going to be really difficult for them to win outright to Tennessee clinches it outright with one game left in the regular season. So, you know, quite the last 2 weeks from Tennessee, but really – quite the February and now into early March from the Vols.
Well, I appreciate you setting me up for the transition pretty well here. Going back to that win over Kentucky and Lexington, what did Rick Barnes challenge the team? He wanted to see accountability from the players. He wanted to see more toughness from the players. And I really feel like that is what Tennessee's been playing with ever since. And that's been one of the biggest catalysts into Tennessee's run throughout the SEC play is that they've been a tough team. They've been holding each other accountable. Obviously, the coaching staff has mountains to do with all the success, But in a lot of ways, it's also a player-led team. We talk about watching practice, and we see that, you know, some of the older guys, especially Santiago Vescovi, man, the work that they're putting in the practice court with their teammates, it's something impressive to see, and you can certainly see how it correlates to the win. Speaking of Kentucky, just real quick, here are their last five games scoring outputs: 93, 111, 91, 117. Boy, I'm excited for this game on Saturday just to see how Tennessee's defense is going to be able to step up, how they can handle this, and sort of what this looks like heading into the SEC tournament. But I know there are certainly a lot of Tennessee fans out there breathing a sigh of relief that maybe Kentucky's not going to have an opportunity to end Tennessee's hopes at an SEC title coming up this Saturday. Everything is clinched. Everything is done. Now it's just 40 minutes of basketball to play before the SEC tournament.
Yeah, certainly. I think in some ways, you know, you can kind of see it going both ways from how it affects Saturday's game. It certainly relieves some pressure off of Tennessee. But, you know, on the reverse side, you worry about an emotional hangover. Tennessee's got to get back, you know, right. They've been on such on edge with the mindset the last few weeks, and now they got to be able to have another really intense mindset against, you know, probably the one of, if not the best offensive team in the country, a team that's as dangerous as any. They're going to have to be locked in defensively, and talked about them winning a low-scoring game tonight. If they win on Saturday, it will not be a low-scoring game.
You talked about what being one of those teams. I want to talk about one seeds. How much does this help Tennessee in their fight for the one seed coming up in the NCAA tournament? Obviously, there's a couple more things that have to happen, but let's go back about a week or so, actually about 8 days, 9 days if you want to make it exact. 9 days if you want to make it exact. Tennessee sort of looked at this thing and you said, all right, what would 3-1 do? What would 2-2 do? Well, obviously, I think we could pretty much assume what a 4-0 run would do. Tennessee's now 3-0 to start this four-game run. What are Tennessee's chances right now of sort of climbing their way up to that one seed? This is a huge win against South Carolina, coming off of wins against Auburn and Alabama. This is sort of going to be the topic of conversation around the college basketball world over the next couple days.
Yeah, I mean, I expect Tennessee, they've already moved up to a one seed in Jerry Palm, even going into this game. I would think, and Joe Lunardi, and I would think everywhere they would be a one seed after this one. At this point, obviously, a win on Saturday would kind of complete it. A loss would leave it more up in the air. I don't really see, not that it's just way lopsided, but I wouldn't see the argument for Arizona getting the final one over Tennessee, besides if you're doing it just only off geography and how that fits. Tennessee, now with 8-5 in quad one games, I believe Arizona 7-3. Some of those things could still reverse. They reversed today, where Florida's big win over Alabama moved them up and into a quad one win, and Colorado dropped the home win for Arizona over Colorado dropped to a quad two win. So in Arizona hasn't even played in the last 2 days, and the quad one comparison has flipped three overall. And then Tennessee only has one quad two loss. I believe Arizona has two quad two losses and a third loss in quad three. So I think Tennessee right now, still again Saturday left in the SEC tournament, I think they're sitting in the driver's seat and continues to control their own destiny when it comes to getting a one seed.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, you were looking at those standings a couple of weeks ago. I'd love to see some rematches of that Maui Invitational Tournament. Now just kind of what Tennessee is. Obviously, those other teams have gone through their seasons as well. Kansas, little bit falling behind from where they were at the time. I believe Kansas was the number one team in the country when Tennessee lost to them. So,
yeah, man, 1-2.
Yeah,
Purdue was 2.
That's right. And so it'd be interesting to go back and look at those. But, man, it all kind of leads into what this season has been for Tennessee. A tough season, a resilient season, a season in which they've had to fight through adversity, but they've done it together, and they've done it because of a veteran-led team. I think that's sort of my biggest takeaway from getting a pretty front-row view to the entire Tennessee basketball season so far.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think you hit the nail on the head, and certainly a huge achievement for this team, but a lot more they want to accomplish. I mean, Dalton Connect, I think every time that he talked about it, winning the SEC regular season postgame with us, he said, we want to get, you know, this is just the start. We want to win the SEC tournament. We want to win the NCAA tournament. In that same postgame video in the locker room you're referencing with Rick Barnes, he said, we want to play on Monday night. And, you know, if you're a college basketball fan, you know Monday night means the national championship. So they're, now it's like, right at the start, Rick Barnes is like, congrats, this is great. Yeah. Y'all have earned this. Way more out there. Rod Clark, assistant coach, tweeted out the Kobe Bryant, you know, job's not finished clip. So this team wants a lot more out there. They'll enjoy this one tonight, as they should. They beat Kentucky. They'll probably enjoy it again, celebrate the SEC championship on Saturday, and then they'll turn their attention to Nashville in the SEC tournament and certainly the big tournament where they have huge, huge aspirations.
There you go. That is good stuff right there. All right, we got a lot more to do tonight. Obviously, you can go ahead and check out all of our work over on RockyTopInsider.com as we make our way back to the hotel, which, by the way, Ryan, you'll be back at the hotel, what, here in like a couple weeks, March 20th or so? You got a nice reservation for it, right? You'll be back.
Right.
You'll be over in Clinton, South Carolina.
I'll have to check in on Clinton, South Carolina and make a nice little day trip.
We were welcomed with a pleasant surprise that I'm sorry to do this to you. It's at the end. It's only for the made it to the end.
Made
crew.
It for the end people. They deserve it.
They deserve it. But we showed up at our wonderful Hilton Hotel today about 3-4 o'clock on the way up here to Columbia. Ryan goes to check into our hotel room.
Yep.
They can't find the reservation. Ryan pulls up the confirmation email. Turns out he booked it for about 2 weeks from now.
Yep.
Which is a and we've all been there, but it was
a tough scene.
It was a tough scene.
Yeah, luckily they still had rooms that night or tonight.
Not necessarily rooms with an original working hotel key, but we got that solved
as
well.
True,
I mean,
too. Took three tries, third time's the charm to get everything to work at the hotel today.
We've had a little bit of an adventure today, but as we say, this is now 12:04 a.m. on Thursday. It's been a whole day for us here on Wednesday. But again, a lot of stuff to get to. You can go and check it all out on RockyTopInsider.com. We have instant reaction coverage. We have post-game analysis. We have all of the press conference videos from Tennessee's players, South Carolina's players, Rick Barnes, Lamont Paris. We have instant reaction from Ryan and I. There's sort of a condensed version of this podcast that we've done right here. So if you want to know anything about your SEC regular season champions, I'd suggest heading over to RockyTopInsider.com or RockyTopInsider on social medias. Speaking of social medias, you can go and find Ryan. He's got a lot of great stuff up at rshump00. That's S-C-H-U-M-P. If you want to follow myself, you go ahead and do that. I've got a couple of Tennessee postgame videos myself when the team was coming off the court. It's real good stuff. I highly recommend going to see it. You can go and find that at Rick_Butler, just R-I-C. But otherwise, my friend, we still got a lot more work to do. It might be 12 a.m. on Thursday. But the people want some knowledge about this SEC Championship Tennessee Volunteers team. So we're going to go deliver that. Otherwise, thank you so much for listening to these 26 minutes of the Rocky Top Insider Press Pass Insta Reaction Podcast here today. For Ryan Shumpert and Rick Butler right here in Columbia, South Carolina, this has been it. You've been listening to the RTI Press Pass. The Tennessee Volunteers are the 2023-2024 SEC regular season champions.